Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? When I was a kid, there was a popular corny joke we like to share. What is the smallest room in the world? Answer, a mushroom. Well, it's not exactly true anymore. Scientists have discovered what they believe is the largest living organism on Earth. It's not an animal or a vegetable, but a mushroom. Walking through the National Forest in eastern Oregon, you might hardly notice the honey mushroom fungus spreading through the roots of trees that now covers 2,200 acres. Botanists have conducted DNA testing on different patches of this humongous fungus and determined that it is one massive intertwined organism that covers an area as big as 1,665 football fields. Unfortunately, it's also slowly killing patches of trees where the black shoestring-like filaments weave through the roots. This giant mushroom is not only big, it's also ancient, estimated to be about 2,400 years old. Even the outline of the giant fungus is strikingly similar to the shape of a mushroom, stretching 3.5 miles across and extending an average of 3 feet into the ground. And what's really amazing is that this massive mushroom all started from a single spore, too small to see without a microscope. Did you know the Bible says that many big things can come from tiny beginnings? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, listening friends, to a fresh installment of Bible Answers Live, and we'd like to invite you to join us for tonight's program. If you have a Bible question, it is a free phone call. That number is 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. We've got lines open, so if you'd like to call with a Bible question, then just pick up your phone and dial 800-463-7297. One more time. That's 800-GOD-SAYS or 463-7297 with your Bible question. And as you've probably gathered by now, this is a live international interactive Bible study, and we invite you to join us. My name is Doug Batchelor. Our regular co-host, Pastor Jean Ross, is still returning from the Thanksgiving vacation. But we know a lot of you are either in your home or on the road, and we invite you to both listen in and call in with your questions. One more time. Good time to call now if you want to get your question on tonight's program, 800-463-7297. And as always, we're going to begin the program with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for the power of your word. And Lord, we just pray that the spirit and the power that is in that word will come to life now as we listen, that it will work its miraculous power in every heart and every mind, and that new life will be found. Bless us, then, as we direct our attention towards these words that bring faith, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight in our opening fact, you heard about this giant fungus considered to be the largest living organism on Earth right now by the foresters and the botanists up there in Oregon. But it all began, they're estimating, about 2,400 years ago from something, a spore, a little fungus spore that is virtually microscopic. And it makes me think of a couple of verses in the Bible. One says in Matthew, Jesus in chapter 13, verse 31, said, "Another parable he put forth to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least or the smallest of all seeds. But when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree so that birds of the air may lodge in the branches thereof." Talking about something very small that can grow into something very big. And James tells a similar scenario, but this is something small that's not good. says, even though the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And we know just a few words can do great harm or great good. It's a very powerful thing. The words that we speak, Jesus said, every idle word that we speak in Matthew 12, we'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be condemned, and by your words you'll be justified. And we have a book. Maybe you've felt the sting of those little words or would like to appreciate how important our speech really is. We have a book called Tiny Troublemaker, and we'll send you a free copy. This is a classic sermon book by Joe Cruz, and all you have to do is call in that resource line. This is the resource number, 800-835-6747. There'll be operators standing by to call in with your Bible question. One more time, it's a different number, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. And with that, we're going to begin going to the phones and start talking with Lisa, who's been waiting patiently, calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Lisa, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live. Lisa,
hello?
Hi, there you are. You're on the air.
Okay. I have a question. What would you tell somebody that we know that we should be grateful for all that Jesus did for us, going to the cross and all. And I'm trying to also find where I would find this in the Bible to get a better understanding as well. But what about the fact, like, if you regret that you were even created, like a person that regrets that they were ever created, and then how can they be grateful that they, you know, how can they find the gratitude if they were, if they're angry that they were ever even created in the first place?
Right.
You know, with all the, you know, the hate, you know, Satan
problems
and all
in the
his
world.
Evil. And
you know
the
what I tell them?
Going on in the world. And then you have to ask, why would God, even after Adam and Eve ate the apple, why would he still keep, you know, creating people? And, you know, even though he knew that they were going to be going through so much heartache and so
right.
much evil, you know, and all.
Well, let me take a stab at that. For one thing, if a person is saying, you know, I regret that I was even created, they don't need to be discouraged that they're thinking that, because even some of the heroes in the Bible articulated those feelings. When Job was going through his sufferings, he actually cursed the day that he was born. And Elijah, he prayed that God would take his life when he was running for his life from Jezebel. There was so much evil in the kingdom and so much problems in the world. And so a number of the Jeremiah and a number of the Bible characters experienced some very down moments or depressed moments when they said there's so much evil. But, you know, even just coming to the program tonight, I had the Bible tapes on, or CD actually, in my car, listening to Romans. And Paul was saying, the sufferings of this present life are not even worthy to be compared to the things that God has for us, the glory that will be revealed in us. And so, you know, I remember telling my father one time, well, it's your fault I was born and I'm unhappy and you never asked me. And of course, kind of a silly thing for a kid to tell their parent, why didn't you ask me? I would have chosen not to be born. Everyone feels that. But if they could only see what God has prepared for those that give their hearts to them, it's infinitely better and it's worth the potential, the possibilities, and the hope of life. Solomon said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. And we've heard the expression, where there's life, there's hope. So I'd ask your friends, don't despair. God has good things in store. The devil would like to destroy life. God wants to make life. And if it wasn't for the devil, all our lives, you know, it would have been wonderful. But we have a lesson that explains, why is there evil if God is good? And if you go to the Amazing Facts website, which is simply amazingfacts.org, there's a lesson, did God create a devil? Amazingfacts.org, Lisa. Appreciate your question. Hopefully that'll help a little bit. Thanks for calling. All right, next we're going to talk to Gary, who's calling from Sarasota, Florida. Gary, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Doug Batchelor.
Evening.
Yeah, to catch some of your prophecy seminar, the Landmarks of Prophecy, I just want to say that was awesome. God is definitely blessing you in your work.
Well, thank you. I'm glad someone was watching.
Yes, I actually owe a lot to you. A friend gave me the Prophecy Foundation DVD, and that kind of changed my life. So that's an awesome.
Well, praise the Lord. That is a great tool.
My question tonight has to deal with Revelations chapter 21, and in verse 12, and I'm just wondering, the emphasis is placed on the 12 tribes of Israel, and if it appears that, you know, from what I've heard, that there's no hierarchy in heaven, that, you know, I've heard different things, that people are going to be all equal, but in this verse, it appears that the Israelites or the Jews are placed maybe above everyone else because their names are written in the wall. So I was wondering if you could maybe give me some clarification.
Yeah, it tells us that in the foundation you have the names of the 12 tribes, and in the gates you have the names, or maybe I've got it backwards. The gates are the 12 tribes and the foundations are the 12 apostles. But the idea that there's no hierarchy in heaven is really unbiblical. You remember James and John came to Jesus and they said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can my brother sit on your right hand and I on your left hand, which were positions of honor and judging and leadership. And Jesus said, I can't promise you that. That's going to be given to, he didn't say there'd be nobody on the right and left. He said, those positions are something reserved by my Father. But Bible talks about he that is greatest in the kingdom of heaven and he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. And there are varying degrees of rewards. Not only are there varying degrees of rewards for the lost, there are varying degrees of rewards for the saved. And so, you know, while we're all saved by grace, the Bible tells us that, you know, he'll judge everyone and reward everyone according to their works. And so, people aren't going to be lording their power over one another. But even among the angels, it seems that different angels have authority and they follow orders and there's some leadership. So it's just not like here where you got soldiers that are going to be barking out orders. It's going to be, you know, an equal love for everybody, but some will have higher positions. And anyway, hope that helps a little bit. So Jesus promised that the 12 apostles, he said, you'll sit on 12 tribes judging the you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel with me. And so we'll live and reign with Christ, it tells us in Revelation 20. I appreciate your call, Gary. Thanks so much. I'm glad that you were listening to the program. Of course, we have that lesson, and you may have seen it already, dealing with the Revelations, incredible city in space. And you can read that for free online or call our resource line if anyone has a question about that. And it's simply 800-835-6747, and it's Revelation's Amazing Space City. Thank you, and we're going to talk next with John, who's calling from New Jersey. John, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, how you doing? I have a question about a passage in the Bible. I don't know the exact verse or where it's located. I believe I spoke with a person who answered the phone chat. I think she said it was Job.
Okay.
When Job, the angels reported to God, like, and the devil was among them, and God asked the devil, where have you been all this time? And the devil reports, I've been going hither back and forth, roaming the earth. Now, does that mean that God didn't know where the devil was all that time?
No, sometimes God asks questions for the benefit of both the person and others listening. It's like when God said to Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to think, where has sin brought me? Jesus said to the disciples, what were you talking about on the way? He knew they were arguing which of them was the greatest. So God asked questions. God knew where the devil had come from. And God said, from whence did you come? And Satan answered the Lord, saying, from going to and fro in the earth. By the way, that's in Job chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, where did you come from? Satan said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Now, you notice that when God asks that question, it says there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So there are other beings there. And whether they're, you know, leaders of unfallen worlds or angels, either way, there's other intelligent beings called the sons of God gathered. And God asks the devil for their benefit, where do you come from? And so Satan is ostensibly saying, I represent the world because I'm the prince of this world, as Jesus said. And God said, well, you're not prince of the whole world because Job follows me. And then they got into this debate about, well, the only reason Job follows you is because you protect him. So, yeah, God knew. He knows all things. The Bible says, where can you hide from the Lord? There's nowhere. And that's in Psalm 139. So that makes sense, John?
Yes.
I appreciate your question very much. And by the way, you might be interested in, we have a Bible study series. Anyone out there, if you'd just like to understand more about the Bible, it's free. And you can go to our website, Bible Universe. Real simple, BibleUniverse.com. There are several different Bible studies you can sign up for in multiple languages. And just look at BibleUniverse.com. Thank you for your call, John. That opens up another line if someone has a Bible question. That number one more time, 800-463-7297. And we're going to be talking next to Louise, who's calling from Brooklyn, New York, listening on WMCA. Welcome, Louise. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Evening.
Yes. I'd like to know, was Jesus Christ the first one raised, resurrected from the dead?
No.
Lazarus, right?
Well, actually, in the Old Testament, we know Moses was resurrected because he appears in the New Testament to Jesus.
Yeah.
After Moses, Elijah resurrects a boy who had only been dead for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, a few years later, Elisha, who's a different prophet, he resurrected another boy. He actually laid on him and breathed in his mouth and he sneezed and woke up. So there are others who were raised, and Jesus raised a little girl before his resurrection named Jairus' daughter.
Right.
Now, Jesus raised a boy that was on his way to the funeral. There was a widow of Nain, and then, of course, Lazarus, as you mentioned. So there's several resurrections before Christ. Are you wondering why Jesus is called the first begotten of the dead?
Yeah.
The word first, biblically, is not always talking about sequence. When, for instance, we say Michelle Obama is the first lady, well, we don't mean she was the first lady in North America to arrive or to be born.
Mm-hmm.
We mean it's a position of high honor when we call her the first lady. So when it calls Jesus the first begotten from the dead, it means the greatest of those who have been raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about sequential order.
Oh. Can I ask you one more short question?
Okay.
I'm very, very confused. You know, I'm having a hard time with keeping up. I'm always sinning, repeating the same sins. But what does it mean to pray in the spirit? I still don't. They say it's when God calls you.
Yeah. Well. First of all,
he never called me, so does that mean I'm lost?
No. You don't have to hear an audible voice of God calling you. The way the Lord speaks to you is through his word. And so whether you're hearing a preacher in church or on the radio or as you're reading the Bible is the best way, God will speak to you through his word. And sometimes you'll feel the Holy Spirit convict you. And just the fact that you know you're making mistakes and sinning, that's the Holy Spirit telling you that you need to change these things. Of course, you ask God to forgive you, and then pray that he can help you be consistent, because the Lord tells us we shouldn't be walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the same God who helped me quit smoking and drinking and cursing and stealing, he can help anybody with their various sins. And so, you know, the Lord is able to make us new creatures. The more you feed the spiritual side of your nature, the easier it is to resist temptation, Louise. Now, by the way, we have a free book I'll send you. It's called Tips to Resisting Temptation and How God Speaks to Us. You'll enjoy that. Tips to Resisting Temptation. Anyone who would like a copy, free. Just call the resource line. That's 800-835-6747 and ask for the book Tips to Resisting Temptation. You can even go read it at the Amazing Facts website, simply amazingfacts.org. Thank you for your call, Louise. And that opens a line if you want to call in with a Bible question. Again, 800-GOD-SAYS. And we're going to talk to David, calling from Midland, Oregon. David, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Oh, good evening.
Evening.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
My question is regarding dinosaurs in the Bible. How they, or what's their role, and how do you prove that the dinosaurs existed, in Genesis? And
prior to the flood.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, not only are there many extinct giant reptiles, we call them dinosaurs, they were thunder lizards, there are equally many extinct giant mammals. It's amazing that a lot of the animals, even the plants, I mean the ferns and things, and they had dragonflies with a 2-foot wingspan. And so you look at the fossil record, and before the flood, the creatures were ginormous, as they say, many of them. During the flood, Noah took two of every creature, and it doesn't say he had to take a full-grown Tyrannosaurus rex. He could have taken an egg or small one, you know. So the average size of the creatures on the ark were as big as a sheep. They weren't that big. And so he took two of every creature. And after the flood, some of these large animals that threatened people, they were probably hunted down or hunted to extinction before they got to multiply very, very much. So most of what we're looking at are the fossils of what existed before the flood. In fact, the Bible talks in, I think it's Genesis 11, about Nimrod, the mighty hunter. And the reason they called him a mighty hunter is he may have been, dispatching some of these big reptiles and mammals. Now, there is reference in the Bible to this creature called a behemoth, and it's not clear what it was. It says it's got a tail like a cedar tree. So it's not an elephant. An elephant's got a little tail like a rope. So some have speculated that the few surviving dinosaurs are referred to by Job. And I believe that the problem with evolution is their dating methods are extremely flawed, and that man and these giant mammals and reptiles lived contemporaneously. So, amazing facts, David. We carry a book. It's actually, it was made for kids, but it's got good data in it. It's called Dinosaurs in the Bible. If you go to the Amazing Facts website, and it's got pictures and illustrations. Dinosaurs in the Bible, I think, goes right up the alley with your question. Just go to amazingfacts.org, and you can check that out in the book department. Thank you for calling. And anyone else with a question, you can still call 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. And we're going to go from David to Giovanni, who's calling on line 9. You didn't know that. From Toronto, Canada, listening on satellite radio. Welcome, Giovanni. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. I listen to your show, and it is very helpful for me to learn.
Well, it's a lot. Privilege. Thank you.
Your all your wonderful callers, their beautiful questions.
How can we help you tonight?
So, I have a friend, and he is a homosexual, and he claims that he believes in Jesus, and he is dying of cancer. Mm. But he is still practicing this homosexual lifestyle. Now, my question is if a homosexual who accepts Jesus but continues practicing his life passes away, does he have hope for salvation?
Well, I'm going to, for politically correct reasons, I'm just going to rephrase your question, and I think the answer will be self-evident. If we believe that adultery is wrong, the Bible's really clear about what the Ten Commandments are. And, of course, it's very clear about homosexual practices. And if we believe that a person says, look, I want to be saved, but I'm going to continue cheating on my spouse up until my dying day, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And as tragic as it is, you cannot continue in known high-handed sin and just say, I'm going to believe in Jesus and live my own life. Christ tells us there's going to be many in the judgment that are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. And so it takes more than saying, Lord, Lord. Christ said, it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but they that do the will of my Father. And that means you can't just sell out to your passions. It doesn't matter whether that's adultery or gluttony or homosexuality. Sin is sin. And, you know, God tells us we cannot be living for and be led by the flesh and ignore the Spirit. So, I don't know where this person is, but if they say they believe in Jesus, most of what we know about Jesus comes from the Bible. Christ said, thy word is truth, meaning the Bible is true, meaning that we need to get what the truth is about morality and sexual purity from the Bible. And both the Old and the New Testament couldn't be any more clear and explicit that practicing, a person may have tendencies. A person may be tempted with all kinds of sin in their mind, but if they're not acting on it and they're rejecting those temptations, they can be saved. But when we're deciding to surrender to the temptations and live them out, well, that's just called living a sinful life. And you can't knowingly, deliberately do that and be saved. So I know it's tragic when the circumstances you describe, but if your friend believes in the Bible, you can say, do you believe the words of Jesus? Let him read it for himself. And maybe the Holy Spirit will work on his heart, we hope. And he'll become, the Holy Spirit brings conviction and then repentance and then conversion.
Amen.
So Amazing Facts does have a book on, how to live a holy life. And it's called, Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? The title scares people. But don't be scared by it. It's a good book. Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning?
Can I buy this book?
Okay. No, we'll send it to you free. We'll send you a free copy. And, I don't know if that, let me think here for a second. You know what I would give your friend? I'd give your friend a book called Three Steps to Heaven. And it's free. We'll send it to you. Three Steps to Heaven. And the number,
I'd like both of them.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You call the number 1-800-835-6747. And that's, again, 800-835-6747. Ask for the book, Three Steps to Heaven, and Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? And we'll be happy to send those to you. I appreciate
your
calling, Giovanni. And, yeah, we'll just pray for your friend that he can be aware of, how important it is to surrender his heart to Jesus. It's more than just saying you believe Jesus existed. The devil believes that. It means surrendering your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, I am willing to do your will. I want to be a new creature. I want my sins forgiven. I repent and forsake them. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. Well, friends, we still have half our program to go. And that's we got our momentum going. So if you have a Bible question, pick up the phone, 800-GOD-SAYS, that's 800-463-7297. I want to remind everybody, we have a tremendous Bible study tool. It's relatively new on the internet, and it's a Bible timeline that just goes deeper and wider as you click on it. If you want to see where all the different Bible characters and the main events in the Bible, how they all line up, then just go to BibleHistory.com. We think you're going to find that to be a real blessing. And after you look it over and you go, wow, where have I been that I missed this website? Click it and link it to your friends. Let them know about BibleHistory.com. They get the whole timeline, this latest technology, and how to use the internet to research the times and the characters and the places and the events of history, Bible history, all at one site, BibleHistory.com. Don't go away. We're going to take a brief break. Come back and listen to more Bible questions.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
We're back listening, friends, to Bible Answers Live. And for any who may have tuned in during the journey, this is a live international interactive Bible study, and you're invited to call in with your Bible questions. All right, with that, we're going back to the phones. We're going to go and talk to David. Let me see, get your right phone number. Pastor Ross is in here. David, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live from Missouri.
Yes, I'm truck driver. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I got a question about why we celebrate Christmas. From all the studies I've done, it's nowhere listed in the Bible that we are to celebrate Christmas. It's not one of God's holy days. Wouldn't this more or less be considered a tradition of men? I mean, from the research I've done, Jesus wasn't even born in December. He was born in late September, early October.
Well, you're absolutely right. Jesus, and let me just tell my listening friends, it's not that we're trying to be Grinch and steal Christmas, but if you're going to be biblically accurate, I can think of at least three or four powerful arguments that prove Jesus was not born December 25th. One of those being, it says that the shepherds were out in the field taking care of their flocks. Well, the climate in Palestine is probably pretty much like Northern California, and nobody's out in the fields with their sheep in December 25. It's usually snowy or rainy and cold, wet. The shepherds have the sheep off in folds, and they're sleeping indoors at that point. Another reason is that it tells us that when Christ was born, that Caesar Augustus issued a census to be taken, requiring everybody to travel to their hometown. Even a bad politician would not ask people the worst time of year in the worst weather to be traveling. They probably did that in the fall when people could be gleaning food that was in the fields at that point. And then, of course, the third reason is it tells us in the Bible that Jesus began his ministry at his 30th birthday, and he dies 3.5 years after his baptism during Passover. So if you subtract 3.5 years from Passover, we know when Christ died, it was during the Passover, that leads you to September, or like you said, August, September. It doesn't give us the date. But since we don't know when Jesus was born, and if the world is going to remember his birth, I think as Christians, you don't want to get involved in the elves and the Santa Claus business of Christmas. The Christmas holiday was probably picked because it's the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. The days start getting longer, the 25th of December, and many cultures had a celebration. And so Christians, merging with many of the pagans, sort of adopted that date, and they called it the birthday of Jesus. But it's certainly not biblical. So does that make sense, David?
Well, yeah, but wouldn't it, to me, that would almost be, I kind of like a...
Like a compromise?
When God dies.
Say what?
To me, that would almost be like sinful when God dies to celebrate Christmas. I mean, because as you said, Christians kind of joined into the paganism, and we know the paganism ways were forbidden by God.
Well, there are pagan parts connected with the 25th of December that Christians should have nothing to do with. Some of the pagans, it had nothing to do with God and divinity. It had to do with seasons and farming and the sun. It was astronomical, not astrological, astronomical. And so there's an astronomical reason why the 25th of December is the end of the winter solstice. The 21st is actually 25th, though, is when the days began getting noticeably longer. So, you know, I would just say, by the way, we have a book on this called Baptized Paganism. We'll send you a free copy, David. But I tell anybody that, as it says in Romans 14, if you don't want to regard the day as a Christian, you don't have to regard it. It isn't based on the commandments of God. There's nothing wrong with following a cultural tradition if the tradition doesn't break a commandment. And so there's a lot of things that we do in our culture. You know, there's no commandment about shaking hands when you greet. The biblical thing was they'd hug each other and kiss them on the cheek or the neck. And so, you know, there's no moral principle that's being violated by wearing a tie. There's no commandment biblically to do it. So because something has pagan origins, it doesn't matter if the pagan origin doesn't violate a biblical principle. So anyway, David, we'll send you a free copy of that book, Baptized Paganism, and appreciate your calling. Stay safe on the road. Talking next with Charles, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Charles, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you about a subject that is probably pretty controversial, and it has to do with being tormented by, you know, demonic spirits. It causes spiritual pain physically,
mm-hmm.
and when... if you just believe that I know what I'm talking about, that that's really what the cause is of the pain, by virtue of the fact that I was set free from it some years ago and all of it left in an instant. And then when I got reattacked, it came back. And it's like a physical presence inside your physical body. What now, could be the causes for that to continue without total deliverance from it?
Well, first of all, I'll agree with you that there's no question that there is a connection between your health and your mind. And we know that the devil can tempt people or torment people. And stress can cause all kinds of health problems and pain. So there's no question that there is a connection between the mind and the physiology. And if a person is being harassed, now being harassed by the devil is different than being possessed by the devil. Jesus talks about the demonic oppression, and the Lord can set people free from that. But the only thing I know is, first of all, Christ, when he cast the devils out of this boy in Mark chapter 9, the disciples said, why could you do it and we couldn't do it? Now, so don't be discouraged, because even the apostles at one point tried to cast the devil out of this boy. They couldn't. Jesus could. And Jesus answered and he said, this kind does not come forth except by prayer and fasting, or a loose translation would be some cases are more difficult and you need to really invest time in praying and fasting, making a complete surrender. And, you know, it's Charles, I believe. If you have other Christian friends or pastors that you could get to surround you and just say, look, this has gone on too long. I was delivered once before. I really need prayer again. And just spend some time fasting and praying. You could read the promises that it has in James chapter 5. You might even ask that the elders come together and anoint you and pray and surrender yourself to the Lord, especially if there's any, you know, if you're living in any known sin where you're out of the will of God, surrender that to the Lord. Repent of it. Turn from it. And just give yourself to God and say, I'm 100% yours. And see if the Lord doesn't give you peace with his spirit and deliverance. And, you know, that would be my prayer for you, Charles. By the way, you know, we do have a book that talks about the Holy Spirit. We'll send you a free copy of that. It's called The Holy Spirit, The Need. If you want a copy of the actual book, it's 800-835-6747. If you'd like to read it right now, you can go to the Amazing Facts website, amazingfacts.org. Look for the book called The Holy Spirit, The Need. Thank you very much, Charles. Appreciate your call, and we'll be praying. Matter of fact, I'd like to pray for you right now. Father in heaven, I just know Charles is struggling with this oppression, and many like him. They just want to be free from the devil's tentacles that are dragging them down. Help them to experience complete surrender, and you said old things are passed away and all things are made new. I pray that they can experience that freedom and that peace from having a new life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Charles. We're going to be talking to, I guess we got an anonymous call, line 6, listening from New Jersey. Welcome to Bible Answers Live. And you got to turn down your radio in the background. Or are you on the air?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing good. And how can we help you tonight?
Well, I have a question. I've been listening to a radio ministry. It's actually an online ministry, and I've been having some inner struggles of my own for quite a while now since I professed Christ. And I'm starting to believe that maybe I've had a false conversion. I'm still, and from what I understand from what this gentleman online is preaching, that I should have had some type of dramatic change, and I haven't. I just wanted to know what your thoughts on that.
Well, without, you know, taking time to really counsel with you and see what your understanding is, there should be a difference in the life, because, you know, the Bible refers to it as a new birth. And when you come to the Lord and you surrender yourself to the Lord, now what happened in the past is really not the issue. The issue right now is, where are you now? And if the Holy Spirit has convicted you that you're a sinner and you've come to the Lord and you repent of your sins, these are the criteria for forgiveness. You confess your sins. That doesn't mean you need to remember every sin, but you know, you could start with the Ten Commandments. If you've been dishonest, or you've wanted to kill people in your heart, or committed adultery, or in your heart, or literally, whatever it is, and lying, and just confess your sins to the Lord. Say, Lord, I know I've committed these sins. I know Jesus died in my place for all of these sins, and I accept his substitute. You have to embrace, it's like cashing a check. It doesn't do you any good if you just hold on to it. And you need to actually say, I accept Jesus' sacrifice in my place. Repent, confess, and he says, if you do that, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So have you done that?
I totally understand that intellectually. I have a pretty good understanding of what the Bible says and God's sacrifice. I mean, I intellectually do, but I still find myself saying sin prior to me saying that prayer that you just said. Still find myself in the same sin,
well,
over and over again.
There sometimes is a struggle. Don't be discouraged. When Christ called the apostles to follow him, the apostles were making some of the same mistakes for 3.5 years. But that's called sanctification. But they did change. There should be changes in your life. And Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits." Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits," and there ought to be some new fruit.
Well, I remember prior to my prayer for forgiveness and for cleansing, I remember when I used to sin, I had no type of guilty feeling about it. Now when I sin, I'm totally filthy and dirty and guilty, and I do repent.
Good.
The repenting is a total, my understanding of a repenting is confessing and turning away from my sin, and I find myself turning back to my sins over and over again.
Sounds to me like the Holy Spirit's working in your life, or you wouldn't even be convicted about your sin. But you need to become aware of what it is. If you're feeding the old nature, it's like you got two dogs that are fighting within you, and whichever one you feed is going to be stronger. You've got the spiritual side, and you've got the carnal side. And if you say, Lord, you know, I want to have purity of thought, but then you make a choice to watch programming that is, you know, full of adultery and the wrong kind of things, well, you can't say, Lord, I want to have purity of thought if you're feeding the carnal nature. If you're spending time in the Word on a regular basis, feeding your soul, and if you're beholding that which is good, the Bible says, think on those things that are good and holy and just and pure and true, you'll become like what you look at. You'll become like what you feed your soul on. You don't live by bread alone, but by every word. You need regular time in the Bible. You need regular time in prayer. Daniel says he prayed 3 times a day and he read his Bible. So if you're doing these things, you're going to experience a new beginning. Can I please recommend that you go to the Amazing Facts website? I will guarantee you, if you go through the Amazing Facts Bible studies, I'm making you a promise. It's free. So I guess I could tell you, 100% money-back guarantee. You go to the Amazing Facts, it's called Bible Universe. There's a free set of study guides there. Go through those study guides, and it talks about conversion, and it'll really open your eyes. It's real easy, and they're interesting to look at. They've got pictures and illustrations, and that's simply Bible Universe. Go through the Amazing Facts Bible study set. Thank you for your call from New Jersey Anonymous, and we got to go to a couple more calls that are standing by. Talking next with, Eric, who's listening on line 3 from Evansville, Indiana. Eric, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your program. I have a little bit different question for you, maybe. I was debating the Bible with a gentleman, and he really threw me for a loop. He mentioned angels that had, in the Old Testament, that had come down and had sex with
humans,
people on earth, or giants. And
yeah.
And I had never heard about that, but he said it was true, and he wasn't sure, couldn't say. I said, well, where's that found? He wasn't sure, but he said it's true. And wanted to see what you knew about that, and if you could. I don't believe that. But
that's a common misunderstanding that is from Genesis chapter 6.
Okay.
You want me to read it to you real quick?
Sure, thank you.
And it says in Genesis 6, right there at the beginning of the Bible, in verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. Now, let me just give you the background, what's going on here. Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain took one of his sisters, his wife, and he left. He turned his back on God. They were called the children of men. They became a whole different tribe, race of people. They all had their own, just like another Adam and Eve, but they were all evil. Adam and Eve had another child named Seth, and he was godly, and Adam and Eve continued to sacrifice and offer to God, and they were called the children of God. All right, so this is the background. You got two big groups. You got the ones that are descendants of Cain that have rejected God, and the descendants of Adam and Eve and Seth. And it says, it came to pass when men, these are the descendants of Cain, when they began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, the descendants of Seth, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took wives of all which they chose. As long as they were separate, everything was okay. But when they began to intermarry, and then the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man, in that he's also flesh. His days will be 120 years. That was 120 years until the flood. And so these were not aliens. The sons of God were people. They were the descendants. See, the Bible says in, 1 John chapter 3, the apostle says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called sons of God. Sons of God are people who accept the Lord. The daughters of men were the children of Cain. When they intermarried, it says wickedness filled the land. Their children were giants because of what they call genetic vitality, but they weren't aliens. They were not fallen angels. I have a book I wrote on this because we get this question a lot. I'll send you a free copy, Eric, and it's got all the scriptures. Okay. It's called Angels, Alien, or Adopted. The book is called Who Are the Sons of God? So if you just call our resource line, say, I'd like the book, Who Are the Sons of God? We'll send it to you. That's 800-835-6747. And with that, we're going to try and take maybe one more quick question from... who's been waiting the longest? Talking to Ian. Ian, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live from Ann Arbor, Michigan, but we've got about a minute and a half.
Okay, how are you doing?
Doing good. And your
question? I just had a quick question. Is essentially, according to Bible prophecy, is it basically going to look like just nothing but apostasy for until the second coming arrives, or will there be like some sort of revival of some sort before that?
Well, there's going to be a great shaking in God's church, and in probably in the church that the government accepts is going to be some apostasy, because, you know, compromise has sort of been the pattern over time. But there'll be a lot of faithful that I think are going to be shaken and have a revival. And that's why Christ said, you'll be brought before all people for my name's sake. And so true believers are going to be going everywhere, sharing the word. At the same time, the other group is going to start gravitating towards the beast power in their religion, worshiping God falsely. So there'll be this real polarization happening between a totally spirit-filled group that have the seal of God and a demonic spirit group that have the mark of the beast. They're both going to claim to worship the same God. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 16. The hour is coming in which those that kill you will say they're serving God. Hey, thank you, Ian. Let me see if I can get... is it Hurdley? And your question.
Praise God. Thank you for your service on this radio. I just have a simple question to ask, interject about the first fruit in Christ Jesus. I thought more or less that the first fruit in Christ being raised from the dead is that he laid down his life and he picked it up again, unlike the other that was raised by the prophets and or the men of God,
Right.
Can you give me can you? I mean, I thought that you made a slight mistake on that one, but you've been perfect in everything I'm listening to.
Hey, well, you know? Brother, I appreciate it. We're going to, I don't mean to cut you off, but we really are going to run out of time. I appreciate your question. You're on the right track. There was something also, not only was Jesus greatest among those who were risen from the dead, there was something distinctly different about him being raised from the dead in that he laid his life down and he took it up again. So you're correct in that. Listening friends, we've run out of time for your questions, but we're glad you are listening friends. If you would like to help us stay on the air, we'd love to hear from you. Just go to amazingfacts.org and you can donate online. Tell us if the program's been a blessing this year. If you're thankful that we're on the air, we'd like to stay on the air. God bless until we talk together again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a Savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible. A new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a Savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, a new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.